We live in an age where we have greater access to more areas of information than at any other time in the history of the world. Oftentimes when we talk about worshiping God and reading from God's Word and studying God's Word, we go back to the early church and we make reference to how much time they spent with one another. And when we do that, it is good that we stop and consider that one of the reasons they spent so much time with one another is they were dependent upon one another to know what the Word of God was. It was revealed to individuals. And as we've talked about in the past, that Word that was revealed was written down by those inspired men and has been prepared for us and has survived through the centuries. And we've talked about that before, how it was sparse during some parts of the world, some parts of our history. And then it became more prominent. And with the invention of the printing press and such, the Word became prominent. And we talk a lot about the need to read the Word and to have the Word in our hearts and to carry it with us. But one of the things that we also make mention of, it's not just the reading of the Word of God that's important to us. We need to study the Bible. And we are in a unique position in the kind of access that we have to the Word of God and the means by which we may be able to study the Word of God today as compared to the rest of history. It is said that when Bible became more prominent and there was a copy of the Scriptures in every cathedral or chapel, whatever they had, the preachers started complaining because the people wanted them to read from the Scripture. They wanted to hear the Scripture read for them instead of hearing the preacher's sermons. That's because there's a great desire to know the Word of God. And if we want to be able to carry it in our hearts, we're going to have to do more than just read through it every now and then. We'll talk a little bit this evening about Bible study. The passage that we start with is in Acts chapter 17, verse 11 and 12, familiar to all of us, talking about the Berean brethren. These were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, because they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. And we talk about the fact that they were more noble than the brethren in Thessalonica. And why that is because they went and spent time in the Scriptures to examine and to search out and see if what Paul was teaching was actually what the Scriptures had to say. But notice what he says, as a result of this, that word therefore, as a result of this time they spent in the Scriptures and dwelling on what Paul had to say, there were many who believed. Our faith is strengthened by studying from the Word of God. We need to study. We find that the early Christians were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Peter tells us, as we studied in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, that we ought to desire the Word of God like a baby desires milk, so that we might grow in respect to salvation. We don't study the Bible simply because preachers tell us that we need to study. We study the Bible because it is beneficial to us. It is helpful to us. It carries with it those things that we need. If we want to be sanctified, it's only through the Word of the Scriptures, as we'll look in our Wednesday night class when we get to verse 17 of John chapter 17, sanctify them in your truth. Your Word is truth. It's the Word of God that will cleanse us and separate us and make us holy. That word sanctify, as we consider it, we need to recognize how it makes a connection with the things that were done to set the high priest apart and the priesthood of Levi apart in the nation of Israel and the process that was gone through to cleanse them. And how even after he'd been set apart as the high priest, Aaron had to be careful how he conducted himself. And he had to go and offer sacrifices for his own sins before he could offer sacrifices for the sins of Israel, because he had to be set apart from the rest of the nation, from the rest of the world. That's the idea there of sanctifying. It is the Word of God that sanctifies us today. It's not the blood of bulls and goats or the number of sacrifices that we might offer or the number of times that we wash or those sort of things. It's the Word of God knowing the Word, making it a part of who we are. It is also the Word of God that is able to strengthen us, encourage us, and preserve us and hold us in such a manner that we are able to remain faithful to God. The psalmist says, how can a young man secure his ways? By spending time in the Word of God. When Paul left the Ephesian elders on the island of Miletus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, we read, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. If we want to have an inheritance with God, if we want to be built up and strengthened, we've got to spend time with God's Word. And once again, that's more than just casually reading through it. I think reading through the Scripture on a regular basis is a part of what we need to do to keep the Word fresh in our minds. But if we want that Word to build us up and strengthen us, we're going to have to dig into it. We don't become stronger by eating the very basic of things. We become stronger by eating those things that will make us stronger. Or by eating more of those very basic of things, we strengthen ourselves. The same is true of the Word of God. We need to remember that it is the Word of God that will either save us or condemn us. Jesus told the Jews who had rejected Him, He said, He who rejects Me and does not receive My sayings has one who judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day, in John 12 and verse 48. And James tells us in chapter 1 and verse 21 of his epistle, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the engrafted or the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Knowing the Word of God, having it within us, being familiar with what it says and knowing its teachings and how to apply those teachings in our own individual lives is the difference between heaven and hell. It's important that we study the Word of God because of what it means to us. Without that Word, we have no hope. I know there are many people on the face of the earth today that are of the opinion that if they need to know something, God's going to tell them about it. Well, they've missed the boat because God's already told us about it. Everything we need to know. In the Word of God, we have supplied for us all the things that we need for life and godliness. Everything that's necessary to allow us to enter into heaven is found within the pages of Scripture. Particularly for us in this dispensation, within the pages of the New Testament Scriptures. And I don't want to discount the things that Jesus teaches and talks about in the Gospels. It's important for us to know what He talks about and how He presents things, because it is His Word that the apostles and inspired writers presented later on. But from the book of Acts through to at least the book of 3 John is where we find the meat of the things that we need to know in order to get to heaven. Because that's where we see the teachings of Jesus presented by His messengers. Yes, we can look at those things that are in those epistles and those letters, and we can see how they fit with the things that Jesus taught while He was here upon the face of the earth. And it's right that we do so. But we're not going to do that just by casually reading through the Scripture every now and then. We're going to have to think about it. We're going to have to meditate on it. We're going to have to examine the Scripture. Oftentimes, Bible study is neglected. Sometimes the attitude is, well, we have Bible classes, and the preacher gets up there and preaches twice a week. And so, as long as I pay attention to what he has to say, and I listen to those things, he's going to tell me all the things that I need to know. And in doing so, we forget the story about Apollos when he first came to the city of Ephesus. He was an excellent man. He was knowledgeable in the Scriptures, but he only knew the baptism of John. And as such, he led men astray with his teaching. If the men of Ephesus had had the kind of concern for teaching that the men and women of Berea had,
they would recognize right off that, hey, there's something missing in what Apollos is teaching. And when Paul came later to the city of Athens, or to the city of Ephesus, he might not have found those 12 men who had only been baptized in the name of John and had not even heard that there was a Spirit.
John tells us, we'll look at this in chapter 4 and verse 1 of his first epistle, but it's familiar to us already. Do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God. I don't want to downplay the benefit that we have of gathering together and studying together in our Bible classes, or even the benefit that it might be for one to stand before us and speak on a particular topic or a particular passage of Scripture to help us better understand it or better how to apply some particular piece of Scripture in our individual lives. Those things, I think, are helpful and useful to us. But let's not forget that men fail. Men sometimes are wrong. Men sometimes are misinformed. And we need to study the Word of God for ourselves. The one place that we can go and know without a doubt that we have the information that God wants us to have is in His Word. We need to spend time studying and meditating and thinking about that Word. Even if you do hear it from the mouth of a preacher or a Bible class teacher or an experienced Christian in a Bible class, you need to go home and search it out for yourself, to study upon it. Let's not neglect Bible study simply because we are able to come together and listen to other people talk about the Bible. Some folks neglect Bible study because it's hard to understand. And as we looked in the writings of the Apostle Peter, he said there's some things that Paul writes that are hard to understand, and I'll be one of the first to admit that. Understanding some of the things that John writes by inspiration in the book of Revelation, it's hard to understand all that he's talking about there. But when Paul wrote to the Ephesian brethren, he said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, by referring to this, what? The letters that I've written to you. By referring to these, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. You can know what I know by reading the Scriptures. He told the young man Timothy, calling young men out of habit, I guess. He may not have been so young when he told him that. He told Timothy to go to the Word of God and continue in it, to read and study in it, because the Word of God is there and able to equip, to guide and to instruct, to give us everything that we need in order to be complete in God. That tells me that Paul understood that if Timothy spent his time in the Scriptures, he could understand. Maybe the reason that we have a hard time understanding the Scripture is because we're trying to get it by just reading through like we'd read the comics on Sunday afternoon. We're not spending time meditating and thinking on it. We're not considering what Paul said and what Peter said and what Jesus said and what was taught in the long ago by the prophets in regards to these things. Just like any other topic or study, it's going to take some work. We're going to have to put some effort into it, but it can be understood. Will we understand everything? No. As we talked about this morning, there's some things about God that we don't even have the information to help us understand. And there's probably a few concepts or passages of Scripture that we're going to have difficulty with for a long time. Maybe we'll gain some insight. But that should not keep us from spending time studying and reading from the Word of God. Another common complaint we hear from those who say, I don't study, I don't have enough time. I don't have the time to spend doing that. I mean, you're talking about having to go from one place to the other and read here and read there and then stop and think about it. That takes a lot of time, and I don't have any time. Yet we have time for so many other things. And if you hadn't got the point yet, Matthew 6:33 applies in this place. We're supposed to put God first. If we seek after Him and His kingdom first, all these other things will be provided, added to us. We need to study from the Word of God. It's imperative that we spend time in His Word. One of the problems that some people have, well, I don't know how to study. I'll tell you a little secret. I'm not so sure I know how to study, but I do study. There are lots of different methods. I can't tell you one way that is guaranteed you're going to be able to study and get everything out of the Scripture by following this path. I know some men that, or have heard some men that might present some method that way. 5 steps to perfect study. Do these 3 things and you'll know everything about what you're trying to learn. Some of those are about the equivalent of sticking the Bible up underneath your pillow when you go to bed at night. That didn't work for algebra. It ain't going to work for the Word of God either. Don't try it. I've already tried it. It won't work. There are a lot of different ways to study. One is common to us. We may not think of it in this manner, but planned lessons is a Bible study method. What we're talking about there is class books. We use that in our Wednesday night class to some extent. We have a class book. It's guiding us at the Scriptures that we're looking at. Correspondence courses. Study guides. All of these things are some sort of planned method that someone has gathered together, and maybe it's got some comments and then it's got some questions. Maybe it's just a list of questions. Maybe it's an outline of a particular book or a particular topic and then questions about those things. It's a laid out plan for going through and looking, and you can do that with either topical studies or book studies or exegetical studies. That's one of those where you pick out a section of Scripture and you study that section of Scripture. Exegesis, I think, is the fancy word they use. This is a method of study. Just because something said it's a workbook for an adult class doesn't mean you can't use it at home. Correspondence course doesn't mean that you have to take it through the mail from somebody else. It's just a planned method of study. There are any number of those. We can study by a particular subject, or topical study is generally the way this is referred to. And if you get amongst a bunch of preachers, you can get some argument over whether they ought to spend more time with topical studies or more time with exegesis of the Scripture. But it is a means by which we can come to an understanding about a topic. One of the older gentlemen, in fact, he was elder down there at Jasper when we first moved down there until age hindered him from doing the work. He said, if you want to learn about baptism, what you do is you go and you find every single passage in Scripture that talks about baptism. And you study that. You see what it says everywhere about baptism. That's a topical study. You can take a concordance and it can show you every passage. You can actually get what's called a topical Bible that does that even more so. That's what it's laid out as. You turn to baptism in the Navy's topical Bible and it's got a list of every Scripture that uses the word baptism. And oftentimes the way it's used. And unrelated passages that include it, or passages related to. Now, one of the concerns that we need to have with doing this is making sure that we don't take the passages out of context. It's real easy when you're going through looking at all the passages that use the word baptism to just go down through there and read that passage. And I'll tell you what, folks, if you read Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 without considering the context around it, you could very well come up with the wrong idea about baptism. We need to consider the context that's surrounding those passages. So when we talk about this idea of a subject or a topical study, we're not talking about just where that word's used. We're talking about the passage, the context, the scripture passage where it is used and how it is used and what's being talked about there. If you want to read about baptism in the book of Romans, you're going to be reading more than just a verse or two. You're going to have to read several verses to get an idea of what Paul's talking about there. If you want to learn about repentance or confession, you're going to have to look at the passages around and consider all so that we don't fail to remember the context. Another means of study that we've already touched upon is a book study, or that big fancy word exegesis. E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S, if you want to go look up the meaning of it. And don't quote me on the pronunciation either. That's a detailed study of a particular passage or an entire book. To some degree, that's what we're doing on our Sunday morning Bible class. We're studying a book at a time. That's why when we talk about class and we talk in class, we make reference to things throughout the entire book as we're talking about the particular passages. Because we're looking at the complete picture of what's being said there, what's being dealt with. And that's a very good way to study a passage, to study the Bible. That's how the books were originally presented. The letter to the Colossians wasn't in amongst a bunch of other letters just scattered in there with chapters and verses in it. It was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren in Colossae. Same thing with the Corinthian letters. And it's good. I think it's important that we spend some time as individuals studying those books individually as a whole. Each book. Considering what's being approached there. And it helps us to keep in mind the context of what's being talked about as well. Because when Paul deals with the problems there in the city of Corinth, he doesn't just say, stop doing this. He talks to them about why they need to stop doing it. And there's some context, some information regarding the things that they ought to do to make those changes. This kind of a study works real well with a daily Bible reading program as well. If you're reading through the Bible completely in a year or twice a year or in a month, whatever you're doing, if you'll take the time to spend, say, a few days or a week studying in a particular chapter in the book that you've been reading from, you've got an overall view of the book, then you can get a little more detailed view of that particular study. In fact, this is very similar to the advice that my grandfather gave me a long time ago. He said, read through the whole Bible like you read a novel, and then you go back and you study each section individually. Read through the Bible, become familiar with what's located where. And go back and find those passages that you need to learn a little more about. And spend a little extra time in there. And then go back and reach a little further into the various areas of Scripture that can help you. We are in a time in history where not only do we have unfettered access to the Word of God, but we have all kinds of ways that are available to help us in studying that Word. One of the things we need to keep in mind, no matter what method or plan we might be using for studying the Scriptures, is one of the big things about studying, and we probably learned it in school if we were paying attention, the five W's. Who, what, when, where, and why. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. That's six, isn't it? Who, what, when, where, why, and how. The W's on the end of how, too. But a little more detailed in that, instead of just those words. Who is speaking to whom? I learned something in my English class. Who is speaking to whom? Who's doing the talking? And who are they talking to? What are they addressing? When you're studying the book that Paul wrote to the brethren in Ephesus, it's good to understand what it is that he's dealing with when he writes that book. Like we did with 1 John. John is having to deal with the problems of Gnosticism. And it helps us better understand some of the things that he has to say there when we keep that in mind as we think about and dwell upon that book. When was this written? When was this spoken? And not just the time frame on the calendar, but what was going on at that time. If you want to understand some of the things that are found in the prophets, it helps to know which king was ruling at that time. And which nation they were talking to. Was it Israel? Was it Judah? Was it Assyria or Babylon? Egypt? Where are these things found? If you're studying a particular topic, you need to know what's going on around that passage that talks about benevolence. Why? These are the things that help us to drill down and understand better what the text of the Word of God says. Another thing is regularity. Being consistent and regular in reaching into the Word of God. Don't want to forget, if we want to understand the Word of God, James tells us if we need wisdom, we pray to God and ask Him for wisdom. If we want to understand the Word of God, we need to pray to God that He'll help us to understand. All kinds of helps out there for us. If you go into the bookstore, or in particular the Bible bookstore, you can find a translation for just about anybody in the world. And you can find a special Bible in just about any translation for just about any circumstance. Whether you're a teenage girl or a mom with 25 kids, there seems to be a special Bible just for your study. But don't pick those up. Pick you up a King James, a New King James, a New American Standard, an American Standard, maybe even an ESV. Use those. Because what they are is they are the text of the Word of God without so many extra comments in them. You might take advantage of an NIV and a New English Bible, knowing that they're easier to read sometimes, but they're not as precise. And one thing we need to be careful of is translations or versions that tend toward one particular kind of doctrine, or that were translated by one particular man or denomination. The New World Translation is not a translation I would recommend for diligent study in the Scriptures. Or the Living Bible, some of those. We've got chain reference. You know, we've been doing those Mark Your Bible routes, the routes through the Bible. There's a Bible that's actually its study method, Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And it is extensive in its references and tying the Scriptures together, making it easier to understand. There's also a Dixon Bible. I mention that only because it has been in the past. Some of you may have heard of it. It's out of print right now, as far as I know, and it's only in King James Version. Something else that we might not think of when we're talking about studying the Bible is a dictionary. Just a good, plain old English dictionary can be of a help, but a Bible dictionary can be of even more assistance. Because it's going to be a little more focused on how that word is used in Scripture. And if you're really trying to dig in and get an understanding, it might be helpful to have something like Vine's dictionary that you look up the English word and it tells you the Greek word that's translated that and the meaning for that word and how it applied. Lots of information. I mentioned a couple of times while we were talking, a concordance. Most of us know what a concordance is. You look up the word and it gives you a list of all the Scriptures where that word is used. I didn't go and look in my concordance, but if you looked up the word love, you'd probably find 3 or 4 pages of Scriptures in the concordance. something similar to that I made mention of a while ago, that's not so much on the Word, it's on a topical basis, and that's a Knave's topical Bible. An encyclopedia can be useful. Something that I found pretty handy is a Haley's Bible Handbook, just to get a quick glimpse of the things surrounding a book, where it was written. Atlas can be helpful with determining where things are. If you want to figure out where the boundaries of the nation of Israel is, get you an atlas that's already got them marked out. It's a whole lot easier than trying to find which town was where at that time. You can get a better idea of the size of the nation of Israel, or where things were in the days of Christ in relation to the days of David. Yes, there are commentaries out there. We need to be careful of those because they're the writings of men. There are a couple of commentary series that are, I guess maybe curated or edited is the best word to use, by sound men. But even those we need to be cautious with. Because of the world that we live in, the age of the internet, we can access all of those old periodicals that were written back in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. The article that was in the bulletin this morning came from Plain Talk that Robert Turner edited for years down in Texas and any number of other places where you can go to get this information. Many of these works are available in electronic form as a part of some sort of Bible study program on your computer or an app on your phone, making it easier to acquire. But after saying all that, what you need in order to study the Bible is a Bible. That's what you need. After my grandfather passed away, my dad's dad, I looked in his library. He had a Vines, a Young's, a Knave's, a Johnson, and a Dickinson study Bible. Now, he didn't have quite the access that we have today, but he had access to a lot more than that. But notice what he had there. He had something that could define words for him, something that could help him find the passages that talked about a particular topic, and something that would give him a little bit of background on what was going on. We need to use men's writings with care. We need to remember the context. But we need a Bible, and we need to be consistent in spending time in the Word of God. Because the time we spend in God's Word, or don't spend in God's Word, determines because only by knowing God's Word can we live God's Word. Well, James tells us to draw near to God. We need to understand this part of what he said. Spend time in God's Word. If you want some information about some of these various helps that are available, I need some names and some places I can point you for some of these things. I've got some information I can give you that I've got myself. It's available. I've got lesson sheets for pretty much every chapter in the New Testament scriptures. But study the Word of God. Dwell on it. Think about it during the day. Meditate day and night. Then you can be in a true standing by the river to walk, rather than the one that just falls down because it doesn't have any support or any system. Spend time in God's Word. I don't care how much time you spend reading and studying from God's Word, you can still learn a little more. I want to thank you every day. Still got a lot to learn. Spending time in God's Word will draw us closer to Him and allow us to enter into heaven. It will cause us to be able to recognize wrongs in our life so that we might correct them, and interact with Christ so that we might have those things forgiven. We talked about in our Bible class this morning from 1 John chapter 2. If you recognize in your life that you've got things that are amiss, you need to get them out of the gut. You need to pray to God and ask Him to forgive. We're here to assist you in that. We're here to help you in that way.
you look this evening and find yourself an invitation, won't you come and stand in the center of the church?